not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us. We ask that you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25, as we continue in our study in the book of Romans. Today we seek to learn Abraham's love for God, which produced his faith in God. Abraham's love for God produces his faith in God. Romans chapter 4, begin reading at verse 18 until the end of the chapter. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We have watched the progression of Abraham's faith. I personally have been amazed this man's love for God and his faith in the Lord. It's no wonder that Paul uses Abraham as the supreme example to prove that salvation comes about simply because of faith. Now, these last few verses of chapter 4 teach us the truth that we cannot depend on keeping the law to save us. We cannot depend on our good works to save us. We cannot depend on anything external to save our souls. Paul's point here, as it has been throughout this entire chapter, is that salvation is produced purely by faith. Now, in an effort to teach us how faith works, Paul is going to recall one of the greatest miracles in the entire Bible. I'm referring to the birth of Isaac. Now, what makes his birth so special? Well, his daddy was 100. His mother was 90 when he was born. If you'll search the Guinness Book of Records, it will tell you that the oldest mother on record is one by the name of Ruth Alice Kistler. Mrs. Kistler gave birth to a daughter at the spry age of 57. Now, there is one report of a woman named Ellen Ellis who was said to be 72 in 1776 when her child was born. However, compared to Sarah, these women look like teenagers. All through this chapter, Paul has been appealing to the faith of Abraham to prove his point that men are saved by faith. Now he's going to tell us what kind of faith Abraham had. It was faith in the promise of the birth of Isaac. It was simply faith in what God had said. It came down to faith in God that brought salvation to Abraham. Now, there's lessons that we can learn from this as well concerning Abraham. And so as we finish the fourth chapter of Romans, we must spend some time talking about Abraham's faith that was produced by his love for God. Abraham's faith produced by his love for God. Well, in verses 18 through 20 of our text that we read, we see Abraham's faith was well placed. Verse 20 tells us clearly that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Now, that simply means that Abraham did not waver. He believed without reservation in God's ability to keep his word. What was the promise anyway? Well, to answer that, we need to look back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Genesis 13, verses 14 through 18, chapter 15, verses 2 through 6, chapter 17, verses 15 through 22, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Now, I trust you'll read those on your own, but when these verses are taken as a whole, they teach the incredible truth that God supernaturally caused Abraham and Sarah to have a son named Isaac. Abraham directed his faith toward God, even when it seemed that what he had been promised was totally impossible. The bottom line boils down to whether or not you want to believe God, whether it's in salvation or any area of your life, the results of your faith will always be determined by the direction of your faith and the love of your heart. Faith that is placed in God is faith that will always be rewarded. Now, when the promise was first given to Abraham, he was 75 years old. And even then, it must have seemed impossible. However, when the promise was last confirmed in chapter 17, Abraham was 99 years old. It must have really looked impossible by then. Yet his faith did not waver. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. This word is in a tense that suggests that he believed God when he received the promise, and he kept on believing until the promise was fulfilled. That's the kind of faith, my friend, that sees mountains moved. Let me just encourage you. Some of you have been waiting on the Lord to move in your life. He hasn't forgotten about you. If He has made you a promise, my friend, you can count on that promise being fulfilled in your life, in your time. Don't give up. Don't despair. But trust in the Lord and He will bring it to pass. Verses 18 through 20, we also see the determination of his faith. There are three truths that reveal to us about the faith of Abraham, and it serves as an encouragement to those who must live their lives in dependence upon the Lord. Number one, we need to notice in verse 18, he refused to listen to reason. Notice the scripture says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Hoped against hope. Abraham had to have his eyes on one greater than himself. If his eyes were on his circumstances, then he had every reason to doubt that the promise would ever be fulfilled. If that was any of us, we would say things like, I'm just too old. Sarah's all shriveled up like a prune. She's too old. We've tried to have a baby since we were both young. Why should it work now? It's physically impossible. Apparently, Abraham refused to dwell in the land of negativity. God had given him a promise, and that was enough for him. That's a great lesson for you and I. Verse 19, he refused to look at reality. Abraham refused to look at his situation. His eyes were on the promise of God. Can you imagine this older couple, this old couple, as they prepared for the birth of their son? Now, did Abraham doubt? I'm sure he did. He was human. He was only human. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 17 and 18, Abraham laughed when he heard the news that a baby would be born. Surely he and Sarah felt that the promise was more like a cruel joke being played on two old people to make them even look senile. Yes, I'm sure he doubted, but he acted on his belief. Does that make sense? Faith is not 100% certainty. Faith is belief mixed with unbelief, but action is taken on belief. Now, when we let the doubts win, that's not faith. when we trust God at His Word in spite of our doubts and act on it, that is faith. Abraham was a man who believed and doubted at the same time, but he acted in faith. How was his faith revealed? Well, for one thing, he changed his name. His name in the beginning was Abram. That name means exalted father. When he received the promise from God, he changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. Many probably thought that he's just a silly old man, but God saw it as an act of the deepest faith. Abraham certainly had his doubts. He was human, but he didn't let his doubts sidetrack him. He kept on for God, and he won the victory. Now, what does all that say to us? It describes to us the reality that faith is a battle. Faith is a struggle. There will be doubts. There will be times when we feel like giving up to those doubts. But real faith never gives up. It always rests in the knowledge that God will do exactly what He has promised to do. In verse 20, Abraham refused to lose the reward. He lived 25 years with the knowledge that one day God would give him and Sarah a child. He knew it. He refused to let go of that truth. And he obtained the promise because he responded to God's promise with an attitude of faith. He refused to lose the reward. I don't know what you need from the Lord today, but if you have His promise in the matter, then I challenge you to act on faith. Learn what faith is. Learn what true faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Learn also that nothing else pleases the Lord but faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Learn that anything less than faith is sin. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. After those lessons are learned, simply take God at His word and hold on. Take God at His word. Now we've seen that Abraham's faith was well placed. Now we discover that Abraham's faith was well pleased. Verses 21 and 22 reveal his faith was pleased with the promises of God because he knew that they were as true as God Himself who had made them. What I see is a man who did not look for reasons to doubt God. He simply took the Lord at His word. He praised God for the answer, even though it was not yet visible. Because that's exactly what faith is. That is faith. That pleases the Lord. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. The evidence is you see the visible hand of an invisible God. Trust God. He is as good as His word. There was a day in this country when a man's word was his bond. That day is still here when it's in reference to the Lord our God. He will do all that He has promised to do. Abraham was also pleased with God's performance. He knew that what God had promised to do, God was able to do. He didn't look at the problem and then on one day he looked and downsized God on the other day. He simply took the Lord at His word and he knew that if God said it would be done, then God would see that it was done. That is why Abraham could take his teenage son Isaac to Mount Moriah, willing to offer him as a burnt offering before the Lord. He knew that even if he did, God was able to raise him up again. God was all-powerful. Now again, I'm telling you, you can count on God. He's still able to move mountains. He's still able to move in power as He ever has been. He's still God today. Here's God's testimony about Himself in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. If God was to come to the world today and ask that question upon the highest mountain peak in the world and every one of His creation, human and animal, plant life, all of it, heard it, is there anything too hard for the Lord? His creation would have to stand still in humble silence because absolutely no one is able to answer, because no one is able to think of one iota, one thing that is too hard for the Lord. Not only this, but Abraham was pleased with God's plan. Verse 22 details that. Abraham's faith was well pleased with the Lord because God took the faith of this old man and He credited his account in heaven with righteousness. Let me put that another way. God saved the soul of Abraham because he took God at His word. God's plan for Abraham is still God's plan for you and me today. He wants us to take Him at His word, act on His promises as if they were real, because they are. Now, not only is Abraham's faith was well pleased, not only was Abraham's faith well placed, but Abraham's faith was well preserved. Verses 23 through 25, we're told here that the promise was not just to impute righteousness to Abraham, but also to everyone who exercised faith. Not just any faith, but saving faith in the Lord Jesus. There's a lesson here about salvation. Abraham acted on the light that he had received, and he was declared righteous by God. He was saved by faith, just the same as any person is in our day. The object of our saving faith is different from that of Abraham. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. However, Abraham took God at His word concerning the birth of Isaac, the future multitudes, and that every family on earth would be blessed, and God accepted that as saving faith. Abraham believed in the promises of God. Now, for us to be saved, we have to react to the light that we have been given as well. However, it's not enough just to believe in God or even in His promises. Now the light we have received has revealed that Jesus Christ is the way to God. And if you're going to be saved, then it isn't merely faith, but faith in Jesus and His sacrifice that saves the soul. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your faith is in something today. It is in someone today. But the question is, your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone? Now, verse 25, we see that we, as Abraham, have been preserved as a person. The promise boils down to one man, Jesus Christ. He's the central focus of every promise that has ever been given. He is the one through whom all the nations of the world will be blessed. He is the one who died on the cross, rose from the dead. He is the one who paid our sin debt and rose from the dead to be our Savior. He is the focus of faith. If He's not, then that faith is dead. Our faith stands upon two great pillars of truth. They are, number one, Jesus died for our sins. Number two, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can believe this and can place the totality of your faith in those truths, then you can be saved. Otherwise, there's nothing but hell for you if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with all honesty that your heart possesses, can you truly say that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your soul salvation? Paul's conclusive section here in Scripture makes it clear that nothing else or no one else will work. Salvation must come through saving faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham believed and he was saved. It wasn't works, it wasn't the law, it wasn't circumcision. It was faith then, it is faith now. It was faith in Christ. Therefore, I must pose the question to you, where's your faith? Where does your faith lie? What are you trusting? What can you put your finger on? What can you put your faith in to say that you're born again, that you're going to heaven? My friend, the only way you can get to heaven is by the person who purchased redemption for you to be able to do so, and the only one who can forgive your sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I urge you, come to Christ. Christ is so reaching out to you. He is so wanting you to be saved. Would you listen to Him? Would you come to Christ? Would you follow Him today?
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.